Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. And joining me, two great guys. I mean, really, if you knew them personally, you would just love being in their presence. Great attitude, reality-based, and so smart and wise. Chris Williams and Milan Yurkovich. Hi, guys. You doing all right today?
Yeah, Steve, doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Yes, and same back at you. You know, we feel the same way about you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, I want to mention that tomorrow is Every Man's Battle, and that's our online one-day workshop. And whether you're wearing a shirt with cactus on it, like my son Solomon, or you're young, or whether you're an old codger, I'm telling you, integrity matters. And if you don't have it, if you don't have integrity, it's a day away, really, because so many guys come into this thing. They don't want to be there. Maybe they're just trying to appease their wife or something. Who said, please get help. But before it's over with, you have a bond, you have a plan, and it's really, really powerful. Every Man's Battle, that's tomorrow. So I hope you'll sign up and go. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's not too late. You don't have to travel. It'll never be as accessible as now. One of the things that Milan and I love doing is our Intimacy and Marriage Weekend, and that's coming up in July. And he and I were talking about something we'd really love to see happen. And Milan, we'd love to see some people that are planning on getting married, whether they're engaged or they're thinking about it, come and be part of this as a couple, which they really can't do if it's live, and because we don't want people staying in the same hotel room and stuff. But this is a chance where we could help people prepare for marriage in a way like nothing that I know of.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I did premarital counseling with a couple some years ago, and for about 9 to 10 months. And then I sat next to the person who performed the ceremony, and he had no idea I'd spent time with him. And he said, well, listen, he looked at me. He had no idea what he did. He says, I did the premarital couple with this couple, and he says, they're solid. And it was funny. He spent 6 weeks with them. But in 9 months together, we discovered they weren't so solid. And we gave them a lot of hard work, and they did amazing work, and they started their marriage in an entirely different relationship. So I think the point is that a lot of times premarital counseling is very inadequate. It doesn't address deeper issues. So if any couple were thinking about getting married, this would be the perfect place for them to come. It's a one-day workshop. They don't have to spend money going to a hotel, and it would be great to have a group that was just premarital.
I couldn't think of a better
way to start. I think it's a fabulous idea. Yeah.
Well, and I know this. It would make a great wedding gift, by the way.
Oh, that's a
tremendous
good idea.
If you're out there, you want to give a wedding gift, this one-day workshop for premaritals would be the ultimate gift.
I like the synergy here.
I do, too. And, you know, a lot of times people get married, and the other person says, I had no idea who this person was.
Right.
Sometimes that's because the person had no idea who they were.
Great point, Steve.
Until you move in together and you get married, you know, there's certain things that you're unaware of. This is really a great way to deal with stuff beforehand so there are no surprises. You know, they say high school sweethearts often, when they get married later in life, they often have strong marriages because there are no surprises, or there are fewer surprises. You know, they've known each other for a long time. If you've been dating a year, 2 years, there are going to be some surprises. And we can help make those surprises something that's good for you and not something that's devastating. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us tomorrow. It's Every Man's Battle in July. It's the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back. Go to calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're going to go to Jan. She's calling from St. Paul and listens online. Hi, Jan. How are you today? Thanks for holding on from another program. Appreciate that. How can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 67-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with cortical basal degeneration, CBD, which is a rare disease of the brain, apparently. With an MRI, they can see what part of the brain is dying, I guess. Mm. And she's the oldest of nine. So my question is about dealing with the family and this crisis. And also wanting to know if another brain spec by Dr. Amon's clinic would head us in a likened direction to apparently there's no treatment right now.
That is just too bad. You know, I don't know anything about that, and maybe the other guys have had some experience with a family member. We certainly can ask Dr. Amon and tomorrow at a break or something and get in touch with you and see what he would say about that. I think the main thing here, though, Jan, I want to say to you is that your daughter have folks like you around her that love her, and that she, because a lot of times, no matter what happens to the brain, that sensory system there knows when they are cared for and loved. Do you guys have a comment about this? Any thoughts for Jan?
I think that's an important question, Jan, on what do we do as a family and how do we come together? And I think the first thing is just trying to get on the same page as far as education. Like, what do you know about this? And how can we come together and so that we're all not reacting against all the different symptoms that may show up in your daughter, but we're all kind of getting on the same page about what we know about this condition. And then this is when the brain is impacted, it impacts the entire person. This is a huge loss, regardless of what the future holds. And so it's being able to support and come together as a family and talk about what's going on and how we're experiencing it.
Milan, any thoughts here?
Jan, I'm so sorry. This is very, very difficult for you. I can't imagine how difficult this would be to watch one of your own children, you know, affected like this. But I think one of the most important things we can all do is, as Chris was saying, is embrace reality. Steve introduced us at the beginning of the show as being very reality-based. And often people have differences within family systems because they don't see the same realities. Or they're operating in different places of denial, or they're in anger, or they don't want to believe it. There's just a lot of places that people go, and it makes it hard. Now, you have a large family, and you can't hope to get everybody on the same exact page, but you got to find the key people, perhaps her family, you, others, that can be a support base and just love her through this process. It's a degenerative condition, you were saying. And so what that means is it does not look as though it's going to progress or change directions. And, you know, I'm always wanting to pray for change to take place. But it's important, Jan, for everybody to really grieve the loss of what's going on here.
That is true.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And we pray for a miracle there. To that end, I will send you a copy of two books, Healing is a Choice and then our devotional book, 100 Days of Healing. And I'm so glad that she has a mom. And like I said, we'll ask Dr. Amon this question tomorrow when he's on, and then we'll get in touch with you and see what he has to say. But I'm really, really glad that you called. Let's go to Cherie or Sherry from Orlando, and glad that you are there. And how could we help today, Sherry? What's going on?
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I recently attended the online Finding Freedom workshop with you and Chris.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Very well done.
Thank you.
12 hours went unbelievably fast.
It is amazing that we did it in 12 hours, yeah. And we're so grateful that you were part of that. How can we help today? What's going on?
Well, my question is, how can I work toward normal relating with my adult children, even though they grew up in a screwy, toxic environment?
What was weird about it, or toxic, or detrimental?
Well, I'll see if I can kind of fill in some blanks here. I divorced their father 3 years ago after a 25-year topsy-turvy relationship. He was a buddy to our kids, age 23 and 21, not a father. The three of them are enmeshed. They're drinking the same dad Kool-Aid and routinely triangulate. He has a victim mentality, so I'm often considered the perpetrator. I believe something happened in his childhood and he's stuck.
Hmm.
As a borderline narcissist, he routinely twists things around and avoids responsibility at all costs. Recently, I referred to him failing at something, and they twisted it to say I called him a failure, which
okay.
I didn't.
All right. So what is the question for us then? It's how do you help them, or?
How can I work towards normal relating with my adult children? That it's the three of them against me. They're toxic. But, you know, I desire a relationship with my kids. I'm hoping to have a positive influence on them.
Yeah.
But my practice of a kind answer turning away wrath isn't working.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about we start with you, Mylon? This is really tough. So I go to you when we've got something really tough here. Man, I mean, they're in his camp. And
Well, Sherry, I'm going to share something that you might not expect. But I highly recommend, if you have not done so already, Kay Warren did a talk a year and a half ago, and it was called Blind Spots. And Kay Warren realized that people had different reactions and feelings toward her. And so Kay Warren asked God to give her wisdom for her to see her blind spots. And then she asked people several questions. But the key question is, what does it feel like to be on the other side of me? What's it like to be with me, next to me, to hear me? What's it like being on the other side of me? And it was one of the bravest talk that I'd ever heard. And she spent a year investigating her blind spots and how others felt about her. And so I would start there. I would have individual time with each one of your sons, even your husband, and ask the question, what's it like to be affiliated, have me as your mom, and what's it like? What do I feel like to you? And that's where I'd start.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, you know, to go on off of that, I think that your ex-husband is getting too much credit and too much blame. That may sound, again, not to say that his issues and how he shows up isn't very destructive. It absolutely can be and is. But we stay in the triangle by giving the victim the power that they're holding. The same is true for the persecutor. The same is true for the rescuer. Our way out of the triangle is to create something totally different, to create a completely new way. And that's what Mylon is talking about. I'm not playing in this triangle anymore. I want to establish a new relationship with you. But I need to know how you experience me so we can then make something new out of this.
Yeah. I think it's important that whenever we have like this justifiable stuff, that we realize nobody else sees it that way, and that any negative toward the other person, it just alienates them more for us. But any acceptance we have, it kind of draws them to us, and then humility we have draws them more mm-hmm. to us. But I'll tell you, there are situations where the poison is still being injected into the victim, and you're just simply not going to be able to win this desire to be closer. And so sometimes you literally have to accept this is not going to get better because of what they believe. And you just go to work on yourself. And then sometimes you let go, you accept, you work on you, you find a bump in the road up ahead draws them back to you, some piece of reality, and then you're more ready, more mature. You've grown a lot. So to that end, I'm going to send you this book by Mylon Kay, How We Love. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I recommend it a lot because I really do believe it's just one of those books that you would just benefit every relationship, how you and your parents, you and your kids, you and your spouse. It just tells you things that other books don't in a way. And so I want you to have that. And that's what we're doing in our Intimacy and Marriage Weekend. We're doing a lot of other things too, but that's really the foundation of it. And so I'll send her the book, but I'd love for you to come join us for that weekend. All right, let's. How about we go over here and let's talk with Amy, I believe. It's Jennifer that I just clicked on. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life today?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm so mm-hmm. honored.
Yeah.
I have a question. I've listened to you guys forever, and you regularly make the comment when you guys are talking about every man's battle, just sexual integrity issues, you will say, you want to nurture the little boy, but you want to call out the man. And so this came up in a discussion I had with some girlfriends over the weekend, and that came to my mind, what you said, because they were talking about a situation where, how do I respond to my husband when he does, fill in the blank? And so I made that comment. I said, this is a person that I trust. I trust their advice and wisdom, and it just seems to fit the situation. And so we kept talking about it, and she was asking me, what does it really look like to call out the man and mm-hmm. and to nurture the little boy? So that's my question.
Okay, well, I'll start with this. To say that I kind of developed that habit of saying that because so often the opposite was happening. And that was that a woman might kind of push a man or invite a man to revert back to or regress into childhood, and they shut down the man. And so it's important that we see that within every man, there is maybe this little boy that never was nurtured or accepted or whatever. And so you certainly want to know about that little guy. You want to be curious about that, realize, that some of the deficits that happen have led to this adult. But rather than criticize, put him down when he's in doing some things that maybe aren't the most mature, you want to do the opposite of criticism. You want to do some nurturing there and then expect him to be the adult. I know if I'm in my quote-unquote little boy, my wife has no desire to be near me, but she's quite attracted to my adult. Now, how does she call out the adult? I'll tell you this. If she criticizes me, I'm not going to be very adult. I'm probably going to be defensive or explain or whatever, even though I know that does no good. But when she asks me questions or she challenges me that only an adult could answer or do things only an adult could do, I step up and I accept that challenge. So when we come back from the break, I want to hear from Myla and Chris and let them talk a little bit about how do you help a man function in the mature male way versus be some kind of regressive little boy in the relationship. We'll be back for more right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and if Chris and Mylan can provide the answer to how do you call out the man to function in the mature male role, we will have solved something maybe more valuable than achieving world peace. In fact, it could end in world peace. But anyway, guys, what is it that we can do or woman can do that brings out the best mature male versus we kind of shut down into this little boy way of dealing with things?
Well, I think we have to understand a little bit of what boyish behavior looks like and what adult behavior looks like. You know, the Bible actually speaks to this very clearly. We see, and I'm going to start at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, is like, hey, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. I was really childish because I was a child. But when I became a man, I put childhood behind me. Now, unfortunately, people like myself oftentimes don't. We carry our boyish wounding, our boyish behavior into our adulthood. But what does that look like and what does it look like to become a man or become an adult? Well, 1 Corinthians is telling us this in this great love chapter. It's that when I get into behaviors that do comparison and envy, or when I become prideful or boastful, when I become easily angered, when I am self-seeking, when I'm keeping records of wrongs, when I'm delighting in evil or doing things in the dark, I am in my boyish energy. I am acting like a child and not a very well-adjusted child. But when I grow up, I'm looking at things like being more patient, being more kind, knowing that I nurture protection and truth and trustworthiness and hopefulness and perseverance. So there is some characterological standards that we're looking at here that 1 Corinthians really gives us. Now, Jennifer, your vulnerability is going to be your power, meaning this, letting your husband know when his boyish behavior shows up and not calling it boyish or immature, but just saying, hey, when you do this, here is its impact on me. And then calling him into his manhood is the other thing. When you do this really good thing or this really helpful thing, here is what it does for me. So you're being clear what is unhelpful and what is helpful, and you're expecting him to be more helpful, to be the man that God has created him to be.
Mylan, you have some thoughts about calling out the man, helping the man function in the adult male role.
Well, Jennifer, I think most people have heard of nesting dolls. They're those dolls that you have a big one on the outside, then a smaller one, then a smaller one, then a smaller one. You have all these little dolls inside each other. And we are like that. We have an outer shell, but we have all these years within us. Because we, today, whatever age you are, you're the sum total of all your years. Now, for a lot of men, they started struggling with pornography and sexuality and identifying their sexuality and then not knowing what to do with it. That began long ago, even in childhood and early adolescence. And so a lot of people get really angry when they hear of pornography and pornography addictions. And I encourage people to ask a different question. It was a question that I asked someone not long ago when I was interviewing them. What was your earliest experience with pornography and what have you done about it to help grow up and make that something that is a, you know, no longer a part of your world as an adult? Because a lot of these things we start as children, and we start because we're hurt or we're scared or we want to flee to some place that's pleasurable. And that is to also call out and identify and nurture the little boy to say, when did this start? And most women would be shocked to hear that most men struggle with their sexuality from childhood all the way through adolescence. They don't know what to do with it. So I think that is a way where we could say, well, tell me what that was like at home. And what was your experience? And for a lot of people, they weren't nurtured. They were on their own. They were isolated. They didn't have a mom, dad really finding out what was going on inside of them. And so to really listen to what's happening inside is to touch one of those smaller versions of your husband inside of him and connect with it.
Well, I'm going to send you a book that I think would be great for the two of you to go together, and it's called Every Man's Marriage, and it's all about mutual submission to each other. There's no dictator, no doormat, and it really helps us to see what I need to lay down, what he needs to lay down, what I need to pick up, and what I need to, you know, we're not fused into one person that's neither of us. We're both individuals here. And how do we function and be free to find the things that God has for us in the marriage and outside of that marriage? So I'm going to send that to you, Every Man's Marriage. It is a mutual submission book, and I hope that that helps you in clarifying how do I call out the man. Let's go to Sandra from San Diego, listens on KKLA. Hi, Sandra. How are you? I hear the music.
Hello.
But you might tell us the problem. We can talk a little bit about it at the break.
Okay. I called on Friday because I was feeling a lot of sadness and being overwhelmed. I filed for divorce, and I was told to ask Dr. Yurkovic about what's my next step in the process I'm going through.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. And by the way, at 5 o'clock Eastern, I'm doing a course on our Going Deeper in recovering from divorce. Boy, I wish there weren't many people that ever had to benefit from that. But if you've been through it, I hope I can help you. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay. So Sandra, tell us what's going on here in this this marriage of yours. You're wanting Mylan to help you in what way? What was it you were hoping he would help you?
What's my next step? We started drifting apart about 9 years ago, and 6 years ago I found out he was deep in pornography. And last year he did go to Every Man's Battle, and it didn't take hold. And last year, about February or March, he quit his job. He's been home since, and June of last year, I said, ultimatum-wise, you know, either get meds, go to counseling, and find a job, or a relationship is going to change. So I recently filed for divorce, and that's where I'm at.
Okay. And so you want to know what is the next step for you?
Yes, in terms, I've been going to counseling, but since COVID, that has stopped, you know, to deal with me. But the angst and the anguish, excuse me, anguish of this relationship is too much.
Okay. All right. And is there any chance that he would attend the marriage intensive with you, even though you filed for divorce?
At this point, I don't know.
Okay.
Sandra, thank you for calling. And I'm honored that you would want my opinion on this. I encourage people frequently that if their spouse or family member is not cooperative, but let's just stick with spouses here, that and they're really in a place that is not good. I think your husband would appear to me to be horribly depressed, and that is also yes. very difficult to deal with. You're right. He does need a counselor. He needs medication. But I view a separation as a what I will call a warm boundary. It's a warm boundary. It protects you. It creates protection for you because it protects you financially from the day you file it. And it simply says to the other person, I'm not going to do this anymore. I will not do this anymore. So this is my declaration of independence. Now, if you want to do some things to win me back, and if you love me enough to win me back, here are the three things I need you to do. And because I love you enough that I am doing this, because you sitting where you're sitting is so unhealthy, and I'm so sad for you. But you won't listen to me, so now I have to turn up the heat. So I would make plans, or I would figure out, you've only been married, I guess, 9 years, and but 6 years ago you...
We've been married 19.
Okay. Well, the point being is, I'm not doing this anymore until you do something to win me back. So I think it's an important thing to make this statement to him and tell him it's born out of love. Chris, what do you think? Steve?
I just affirm. I love the idea of a separation as that boundary, because you're still legally protected, but you're giving him one more shot to get himself together, get his life together with clear expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, every bounce of grace enough to stay in there at this stage to see if he might come around. You know, it's gonna pay off, because the pain and the effort in divorce is so great just for it all to end. So even though you file, maybe the filing could be the thing that wakes him up. I would hope for that. All right, let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg here. Larry, thanks for joining. I was just reading part of a testimony from Finding Freedom I did with Chris. Here's what the person said. Free to allow the Lord to work in a new season of life. Free to accept the reality that things weren't perfect. My family is not perfect. Free to move on from unhealthy people and find a path of health. Free to love my parents unconditionally and not be dependent on them as an adult. Boy, I think that's pretty powerful freedom there. You have a testimony you want to share with us, I'm sure.
Well, I've got a couple of short ones here on this thing. I've got a whole file of testimonies, and I always struggle what to read on radio.
Yeah.
My husband went to Every Man's Battle years ago. I had already started supporting you financially, but after the amazing change in my husband, we decided to become Club New Life members. Another person writes, I've listened to you for years. Your show has played a major role in helping me gain new life, emotionally and mentally. Today, 8 years after hearing you for the first time, I'm so thankful for tools, standards, and guidelines you've provided for living a full life. And, you know, we were talking to staff earlier, and you were on a call, Steve. We were talking about the freedom from things. And now we're in the middle of this COVID thing, and boy, do people need freedom. And is mental health back into the play of being an issue and not being afraid to talk about it?
That's why
we're doing what we're doing. We've been doing it all along, but now it's become kind of the buzzword, and people need it, and we have help. You know, God works through this ministry. He does amazing things when the truth is presented and the right connection with people and relationship and transparency and such happens. And that's why we seek your support. That's why we come to the mic and just say, please, would you support? Lives are changed. They're different. I know some of you have experienced that. And I know you, if you haven't, you've heard the testimonies. And every gift you give right now is going to be another dollar. It's matched. We're trying to get this match fulfilled. So would you please make a gift? And I want to thank everybody who has, the folks that presented the match, the folks who have given about $230,000-$240,000 so far towards the match. That's a big deal.
It sure is.
So thank you so much.
Yep, thank you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we really are grateful, really appreciate. And don't forget that if you join Club New Life at $30 a month, we will thank you with that transformation kit, Life Recovery Bible, the workbooks, all of those things that are involved there. We want you to have that because we really believe it can change your life for the good forever. 1-800.
Steve, I have to say, if it wasn't for Club New Life, I'm not sure we would have made it financially through all this
COVID
stuff. So thank you, Club New Life people, and please join if you can.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Amy, Boston, Massachusetts. WEZE is the station. Hi there, Amy. How are you today?
I am doing okay, thanks. Thank you for having me on your program. I'm sitting in a parking lot waiting to go in to have an MRI, or a CAT scan, rather. I'm about to have some sinus surgery, and I have been struggling for 9 months with that now, but also with some other things. I've had a bunch of losses in my life the last few years. I've been a Christian missionary and counselor for about 30 years and have been all over training counselors and doing different things. But I came home to take care of my mom. She and I had worked together for many years. And came home to take care of her because she was in her 80s, and she passed away last year. But in the meantime, my niece and nephew moved in upstairs in her house while I was there, and we needed to get a septic system, and so they said, well, we'll go help you get the rental loan, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, 5 years later, and now 7 years later, the house is going completely to them, and nobody in my family will speak to me. My sister, the mother of this gal, and basically, it's been kind of a generational thing that my family has tended to steal homes from one another. You know, one sister will steal from another, and then the next generation. Now it's stealing again, and for me, it's always been the relationship, and I came home for the relationship and relationship with family because I don't have a husband or kids myself. And in fact, when I prayed at one point, I was managing a counseling center.
Okay, now hold on, just say, Amy, we got to go to a break. The music is playing.
Okay.
What is the question for us? And then we'll get to it after the break.
Okay, it's how am I going to bring the family back together?
Okay, we're going to try to give you some help for that. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help. We're here.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Amy, your question after really feeling like that the house has been taken from you, how to bring the family back together? I think it's going to be pretty tricky there, and Do you really feel like that you can develop a healthy relationship with your relatives, or do you just have to kind of move on with your life?
That's my question. I have one other sister that, you know, is going through the same thing. We've both kind of been ostracized from the family, and my nephew is kind of a passive aggressive narcissist, and he's turned everyone away from us and, you know, towards himself and his little family now. And so I'm not allowed to see their son, who I took care of from when he was born.
Okay. Well, let me see if the guys have any insight, because this sounds like one of those things where they literally could care less about you. I mean, they've stolen this from you. Guys, any thoughts here for her? Pretty tough.
Yeah, Amy, your family is living in a impoverished relational state. And my guess is that there is a big shame message that hangs over the entire family, and that is not enough. And so when it's not enough for them personally, there's not enough love, there's not enough support, there's also not enough financial resources. So it's sort of every man out for themselves, scraping and conniving and even backstabbing for themselves. And it's what I call a survival mode relationally. So the question is, how do you get the family back? You don't. And it's really important, because that is the work that they have to do. You have to protect yourself from that environment, because that type of environment, in its negativity and its harmfulness, is contagious. And so I want you to be able to discover and find the relationships, it sounds like your sister is one of them, where you can create family from that, from a healthy place instead of an unhealthy place.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, Mylon, I'm thinking, surely there must be some legal way to not have something like this just end up gone.
Well, one of the things Amy has to do is ask the question, how much will I tolerate? How will I require that I be treated, you know, as a caring, nurturing aunt to the nephew and their child, and then for the nephew not to be allowing her to see their baby. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here, and so I would decide, Amy, what you can tolerate and what you will stand. I would start with a conversation, and I mentioned this earlier on the show. I would stop and ask, you know, what do you think of me? Who do you think I am? How do I make you feel? And then tell them your dilemma, or a better word, predicament. I feel like, you know, this was my mom's house and now it is yours. And, you know, I feel like I've been hurt here. And how should I work this through? I think an important question is, you know, what does the title of the house look like? Whose names are on the title of the house?
Yeah.
And what does the will say? And all those different kinds of things. A lot of people, you know, Amy's gone. You know, she's out doing things as a missionary and starting counseling centers and all these different kinds of things. And sometimes with prolonged absences and distances, people just, you know, basically cut you off. And so I would come back and try and reestablish and ask for the definitions of what's really going on here.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said it before, but this this whole thing of acceptance being the answer to all my problems today, I mean, this literally may be the only option here, is you just accept that this this family situation you're calling for is simply not possible at this time. I've got time for a final caller here. Let's go to Deanna. And Deanna, I don't, you're from Seattle, KTRW station. Don't have a lot of time, but I want to try to get your call in. How can we help you today?
I am babysitting some children that are in foster care.
Okay.
With part of their family. Their mother, they were ripped from their mother's arms. And I'm not sure there was real justification for this, but I don't know the whole story. But this little five-year-old girl, you try to put her on timeout for something bad, and she just... So rather than, you know, with foster care, you can't touch these kids. So I had gone to taking TV away or telling her you're going to lose TV if she continues doing something.
Are you looking for options to that?
Well, that's working, but my problem is she is very nasty to me. I'm being there fixing breakfast, and she'll say something, and I'll say, "What did you want, Emma?" And she said, "Well, I didn't ask you anything." And it's like this a lot.
Hey, and yet, hey, Deanna.
Had the kids, we were
Deanna.
Yeah.
Our show is almost over, and I just want to answer your question. Children that are from foster care, or children where, whether it is right or wrong, whether it's legitimate or not, they've been ripped from their mother's arms. There's things going on in that home that Child Protective Services deemed painful and a threat to the child. Now, whether you agree with it or not, that's not the issue right now. The issue is you have an angry five-year-old on your hands. Mm-hmm. You have a child that is disoriented, angry, and upset, and possibly with a history of hurt or witnessing hurt or watching hurtful things. I've talked about it before, but you should go online and look up ACE, A-C-E, Adverse Childhood Experience. And when children have a high adverse childhood experience score on a scale of 1 to 10, they are hurt little creatures. They're angry. They're upset. And so anybody that tries to touch them in a positive way or reach out or make them breakfast or do kind things, they're highly reactive. And then when you or I as the adult only work on correcting the behavior, what we're doing is we're missing the hurt inside. So when I see angry people, whether they're 5 or 55, I always stop, look them right in the eye, and I say, something really hurts inside. What is it? And that's the challenge here. You're trying to modify the behaviors. She's got a lot of hurts inside.
All right. So I think in every case, when a five-year-old is being hurtful, to connect with their hurt in the non-reactive moment, so very powerful. Thank you for that, Mylon. You know, that's what we love to do, is to be able to connect with people who have experienced hurts. We're always looking for the things below the things that
right.
we see.
That's a great way to say it, Steve.
It's a mystery, but usually it's a mystery that can be solved. We have to look for it first. And if we're always looking at the symptom, we never get to what's the source of the hurt, the pain, the conflict. And that's what we want to do. It's just like tomorrow at every man's battle, you know. You're trying to, you know it's not right. You know it's not healthy. It's not good. You keep trying harder. You come join every man's battle tomorrow. Sign up. You still can. Then you find out what's fueling this desire to do something that I know is so wrong. And then you have victory, and everything is different. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number if you can help us, to support us. Same number to find out about intimacy and marriage on July 25th. Finding Freedom's coming up, and also Restore if you've been hurt. My thanks to Mylon Yurkovich, Chris Williams, and to all of you.
Thanks for
listening.
Have a great day. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.